I was there from wrong, and I'll die in here.
Seven. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Tuesday night medical broadcast with your host and our colonel, Kimberly Purvis. And I am your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Now, before we get on with our show, I need to read a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, for those of you new just tuning into us, we do have a website. If you type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. Now, on our website, we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from any sales and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need for disaster relief or for any type of shit it's the fan situation. So please, again, by all means, purchase something from the store or click that donate button. Help us to help you and your communities. That's the only way that we're able to take care of states when something arises. So please help us. Now, we can be reached on MeWe by clicking on organizations, scrolling down to Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Or on our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you click on that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and future members to participate through everything we do throughout the whole group. At survival training, meeting face-to-face, getting to know who's in your community and who has your six when shit hits the fan. So it's very important. Now, if you get in and you feel it's not for you, always leave with no hard feelings. Be sure to bring your family, your friends. Everybody is welcome. Everybody has something to contribute. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk, we enjoy it when you call in and give us your thoughts, opinions. Everybody's opinion matters. You will never be downed because of your opinion. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5762. 773. Again, number to call, area code 914-205-5773. I'm now opening up the phone lines, folks. Come on in and call in and participate. And I am now turning the microphone over to your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. And joining us is my second-in-command, Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers.
Good evening, everybody.
Yeah. Take the peppiness down a notch or two. Okay, Pepe? Just a little too happy.
Yeah, Pepe Listink.
Hey, all right. Question.
Yeah.
Is this show about the birds and the bees? Should we have a disclaimer on this one?
Yes, I'm going to have to give one. No. Here's the thing. I'm not going into really that part. I'm going into diseases and issues. But in all seriousness, we've never covered this. It's something that's very important for men and women. They need to take notice when they have problems. But I don't
like
think
erectile
this show is
dysfunction.
Yeah. I don't think this show should be recommended for anyone under 13. I say 13 because I don't think children under 13 should really even have to worry about this. I don't want to get on my soapbox. don't get me started. So,
is there pictures? Because Lorna's here too.
I have pictures. Okay.
I need pictures.
I'm going to post it to our national page. No, I really will. I'll put a disclaimer on the top of it. But in all seriousness, small children. For the first part, at least, everything else are going to be like, what's that? And parents shouldn't have to even go into that and describe what ED is, okay? So
okay,
I wouldn't let your...
No, Lorna, it's not education.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the basics and just tell you what each reproductive system consists of. Okay.
And the pee-pee.
Okay.
Two genders, man. Two genders.
No. Here's
you
the thing.
You got them.
For small children, it is important, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Kindergarten Cop, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. Yes, it is important to teach the kids proper names, because I've seen a lot of documentaries and stuff, or even TV shows where the parents give it. No, listen, where they give it stupid names, and if something happens to them, they don't know. They'll say, like, there was one episode of SVU, and the girl's stepbrother named his penis Daddy. And so,
who's your daddy?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. When they found out she was assaulted, they said, who hurt you? She said, Daddy. And they arrested the father because she said Daddy, not knowing she was talking about her stepbrother. So that's why I'm saying it's important to actually name it. I mean, calling it your pee-pee's fine. Girls call theirs a hoo-ha, but that's pretty much, I would limit it to that.
For, how about,
you know,
anaconda?
Because it's important.
How
yeah.
about anaconda?
Yeah, funny. So, the for women, the vagina is not that long. It's only about 7 centimeters, and which is part of the reason why women get a lot of UTI, because your urethra is really short. So,
shit,
men, you know, it's
I got
not hard.
That covered.
The uterus, of course, is where the It's a muscular organ shaped like an upside down pear, and the lining is called the endometrium, and the entrance is the cervix. And when you get pregnant, it's in the uterus. That's where it goes. The fallopian tubes are the tubes that connects the ovaries, and that's how the egg travels down to get into the uterus. And the ovaries are two small almond-shaped glands that contain ova. And sex hormones are also made there. Now, here's the funny thing. If you look at it, men and women have the same exact parts, or as they said, this one woman, was a sex therapist. She said, men's coochie done fell out. I'm just saying.
Say what?
Okay, listen. The penis is the shaft. That's the outer part on a male, right? If you were to stuff it up inside, it would be a uterus. Your testicles, where the sperm is produced, is the same thing as our ovaries. You see what I'm saying? And that's why they said your coochie then fell out. I know. In all honesty, every fetus is a female up to 16 weeks, roughly 16 weeks. After 16 weeks, it becomes either male or stays female.
I knew all men were women at one point.
Yes, everyone was a woman at one point in their life. Everybody has estrogen and testosterone. The reason why women are more feminine is because they have more estrogen and less testosterone. And men have, of course, more testosterone and less estrogen. Here's the thing. I believe, I'm not saying this is true. This is my theory that I have. When someone acts either of a male acts really, really feminine, I think, in all honesty, he has an imbalance of his hormones, and he ends up having just as much estrogen as he does testosterone. And your body's like, I don't know how to act. And all honesty, I really think that's why even women who act all butch has nothing to do with being a tomboy. I really think that your hormone levels are out of whack. But that's just my opinion. I'm not a doctor, you know, but that is the way it is.
Somebody's beeping in.
Who is it?
I have no idea. Somebody just
beeped. Okay. Oh, okay. So that's the gist of the male and female. I mean, there's a few more male parts, but I'm going to go ahead and go with some of the common problems. Well, we'll start with men. Men are the cause of most problems anyway. I'm just kidding. Sort of. So the male reproductive system is very complex. And they're most likely to be infectious or have a traumatic disease. Now, if you have traumatic disease, yeah.
So what? You're going to freak out and have a disease?
It says traumatic, but I think they mistyped it. I think it means traumatic injury. Most injuries that men may have is during sports activities, like soccer. It can even be work activities, chemical exposure. I mean, excessive weight. If you pick up too much weight, you could actually give yourself a hernia and cause other issues too. You could fall. Something can fall on you. Someone could punch you in your genitals, and apparently it's not cool.
it's definitely
yeah,
not
I know.
Cool.
Huh?
That'll get somebody killed.
Exactly. now, I take it the testicles is the most sensitive part. I mean, it's not covered by much skin. I mean, that's it. There's no protective covering other than your skin. So genital injuries determine the acute and intense pain. Most of the time, it disappears. And they don't require medical treatment or hospitalization. But if you get an infectious illness, you have to get treated for it. And I'm not going to go into all, I'm not going into STDs or anything like that. That could be for another show. It's a little too much. So, oh, no, they actually call it traumatic pathology. Due to the location, male genital organs are prone to the risk of occurrence of diverse pathologies, both infectious and traumatic, like sporting events like soccer, football, baseball, cycling. What else for sports? I don't think there's much of anything. I mean, I don't think basketball really, or can you?
Dribbling?
I guess if you're bouncing the ball, I mean, and you hit yourself in the nuts, I guess.
You didn't get that. That went right over your head. Never mind.
No, I know. So just be quiet. I'm trying to be professional here, okay? And get
through
the
show.
That's okay. So genital...
You know I was going to give you shit.
I know. Genital spasm lesions, they usually lead to serious pain, which most of the time, they'll disappear.
Oh, God.
Minor trauma, I know. Minor trauma or uncomplicated diseases, why they're repeating this, you could actually get a hematoma or pruritus, which requires urgent medical presentation. If you get seriously hurt, you can bruise it. You can't break it because there's no bones in it. There's only cartilage, and that's it. I know some people who have said, you broke my, you know, no. So men, this is the importance of getting your physical at least once a year. Men can get testicular cancer. It occurs in the testicles from different causes. Most of the time, they don't even know what causes it. And some of the symptoms includes lower abdominal pain in the scrotum, and swelling or the occurrence of cystic formation in the testicle. I don't know. I've taken care of patients who've had a cyst on their testicles. And they, just because they're small does not mean they can't stretch. If a male has congestive heart failure, your testicles can grow to the size of a softball from fluid retention.
Are you sure that's
so,
not elephantigo?
Elephantitis? Whatever you want to
yeah.
call it? No.
Yeah.
No, that's not cancer. I'm saying from CHF. I know I had a gentleman whose testicles were the size of a softball. And we had to put a towel underneath them to keep them off the bed and to keep them elevated, kind of. And he was like in his late 70s. And that's
okay,
how bad
I'm
his
out.
CHF was.
This is just killing me. I'm out. I can't do it. No. I'm done.
Well, this is why, you know, you have to pay attention to your body. But if you have
I do
like
all
that,
the time when I shower, and yeah,
okay, well that's,
I can't
that's
do
good.
This.
Sorry. if you have a problem, go see your primary care physician or a urologist. And, you know, testicular torsion means that the testicle twisted inside the scrotum. And it leads to an interruption of the flow of everything down there. Your testicle can be saved if you notice it within 4 to 6 hours, or you will lose your whole testicle because it cuts off the blood supply. And it's very important to have that. priapism is a prolonged penile erection. And they say if it's more than 4 hours or longer, even if it's during sex or not, because sometimes men get them at different times, you do need to go to the ER. You do need to be seen for it. So, because you can have permanent damage to the tissue. Variceal is an enlargement of the veins within the scrotum. And variceals are almost the same thing as varicose veins that you see. Most women have varicose veins. And it's when the vein, it's like bulging out. It's the same thing. And it, that also, that condition can cause reduced sperm count and can also lead to an infertility. So, and it could also be surgically, it possibly be surgically corrected. Okay. Balanitis, I have never heard of this. It represents an inflammation of the head of the penis and the foreskin. And it's most frequently encountered in children. And genetics isn't, it's not an important factor. So unfortunately, not being circumcised represents a risk factor. So guys, if you're circumcised, you're pretty good to go. When that medical condition is concerned, is if it becomes sore and inflamed and itchy. So go to your doctor or urologist. For men's issues, go to a urologist because that's going to end up where they send you anyway. So prostate problems represent another pathology that most males fight against. And your prostate looks like a donut, actually, or an inner tube. And it's around your urethra that's up inside. And
wouldn't
that's
that be
when
called
men,
sphincter?
Your sphincter? No, your sphincter's your butthole. No.
I know. That's what I thought you were saying.
Oh. Okay, well, look, I don't know if you guys have this problem or not. Do you have frequent urination at night? Like, you go to bed and you get up 2 or 3 times a night to pee.
No.
That can be, okay, that can be in a large prostate because what it does is it cuts off the flow where you could barely pee and you can't empty your bladder, so therefore you'll pee a lot. You can even have this problem during the day as well. And if you know you've got this, I'm going to use this word, like a garden hose, and you're like peeing, like forcefully peeing, and then all of a sudden one day you're peeing a trickle. Well, you could have a kidney infection, bladder infection, or a UTI. Or you could have an enlarged prostate. So just pay attention. You can also get a fever and and it is painful, I guess. So a lot of times you can have your prostate treated with antibiotics. Now, if you have problems and you don't get checked, you can have prostate cancer. And the thing about your prostate, if it's not working and they have to remove it, there goes your sex life. There is no sex. Because without a prostate, you can't get an erection, you can't have sex. So that's when it goes into the saline bags that they put in there. And I kid you not, you're going to laugh. I know this. You know where they put the pump? That's a penis pump. They do rods and all that. It's right on the back of your scrotum. And you just push it like the high tops they used to have where you pump the air into them. Same thing. That's exactly what it is. Except it's saline. Male infertility might develop due to genetic factors, and that could be caused by low or absent production of sperm. Like you could have a low sperm count. You could have a hormonal imbalance. Like I was saying about the testosterone and stuff, you could have a low level of it, and it could cause problems. As well as certain drugs can make you infertile. I know smoking a lot of pot can make you infertile. So, and I'm not sure about any other drugs, but As I mentioned earlier, the Variseal. Oh, my damn dog. Just knocked my hot wax over. Little sorry. You know, the first mess I had to pick up, it took me almost a year. Okay. So, that the vein, adds cool, warm blood. That's an oxymoron. That's why you have to watch out with the types of underwear that you wear. At first, they used to tell you wear your tighty whities. You know, you got to support the scrotum. And then now they say wear the briefs, let them flow, let air flow. So, and you don't want to get overheated because that can cause problems, or you don't want them to freeze. But this is something I have no experience in. Do your testicles not go up inside when it gets cold or cold water? This is an honest question. Sincerely, if you go into like an ocean that's cold or a pool, do they really go way up or they just go partially up from cold water?
Oh, when you're cold? Yeah, they go up.
Oh, okay.
Around here, we call it turtling.
Turtling?
Turtle.
Well, I know also everything shrinks up. Sorry, I told you this is kind of, you know. Okay.
Oh, God. What a freaking conversation we're having here. Oh, my God. What a show.
I know. Hypospadia is a birth defect. Now, I've actually taken care of a newborn infant who had this. And it's the opening of the urethra is underneath the penis. So he doesn't... And you have to have surgery to correct it. And sometimes with hypospadia, they can have an imperforate anus, which means they don't have one. They actually have to cut a hole, stitch it up, and make it right. But that's all birth defects. Cryptorchidism is hidden testicles. It's a medical condition represented by a lack of descent of either one or both of the testicles. And that's why I'm not sure what age they normally drop. I didn't work in this area, so this is all. And I guess it's, what, 13, 12, 13 when they finally descend? Guys wouldn't know. I'm sure you.
Hold on, what?
How old are boys when their testicles descend? I know they're young, but
young.
I know it's young. I know if they're not descended by a certain time, then they have to. That's why that's the cryptorchidism, and they have to actually do surgery and help them descend. An inguinal hernia. I know this hurts, and men or women could get this. It happens when an intestinal bite is engaged through the inguinal canal, and it's obvious in the situations that increased pressure in the abdominal cavity, like if you sneeze, you cry, you cough, and it's a very dangerous one to have, an inguinal hernia. Also a hiatal hernia, one's at the top, one's at the bottom. So... let's see. What do they do? They put, I think they kind of combined. Okay. Anywho, for women, I'm going to skip this endometriosis because I'm going to go over that when I get to the women. You could get a sebaceous cyst anywhere because you sweat a lot, especially if you're doing strenuous activity like out in the yard, hunting, hiking, playing sports, I don't care. You could get a sebaceous cyst, and it's caused by a clogged hair follicle. or an ingrown hair. They can be very painful. And where it's at, you know it's going to hurt, especially if they have to drain it. Let's see, went over that. Hair follicles, went over that. Men can get yeast infections as well as women. Wow. So chlamydia is... Listen. You could... here's the thing. Men and women have it and don't even know it. It's like one of the... You could treat it and it goes away. It's not like HIV or herpes or any of the other ones that it's a gift that keeps on giving. No, it's not. You can actually treat it with... Hey, look, this is how my drill sergeant did all of this to us. Okay?
I went through that bullshit, too.
They called it gonocephaloherpes. If you can't scrub it off with Ajax, you don't want to get it. But in all seriousness, if a woman gets it, she could get pelvic inflammatory disease, and it could lead to sterility. So, and then it's chlamydia and then gonorrhea and then all that. But yet again, it can be treated. Normally, it's doxycycline or doxycycline, however you want to pronounce it. You get a shot in the ass. It's painful because of the amount they have to give you. And it just feels like you can't sit down for like a day or two. And it hurts. Genital itching, or it's called genital pruritus, is a sign of a lot of medical conditions, including jock itch. You can be allergic to your laundry soap. You can have too much calcium in your water. Was it hard water? Is it excessive calcium? Or is that two separate things, hard water and too much calcium? You guys know the difference? Are you there? I guess not.
I think you scared them off.
Oh, my God. They're grown-ass men. This is what I think.
No,
look, here's the thing. I know it's a touchy subject, okay? But these are, I'm not going into the actual conversation of sex and what, now I'm not doing all that. These are just issues. Now, men get jock itch, and it could be from, like I said, everything, sports, working, getting all hot and sweaty and all that nasty stuff. What is that? That yellow gold bond. They have the yellow one, and then they have another. I think it's a blue bottle. You just use the powder, boom, it goes away. Now, if it doesn't go away, I would say in a week, at minimum of a week, go see your doctor. So, and that is it for the men. Lucky you. Bastards. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, no shit. They think they have it so rough.
I know, assholes. Because wait till you hear. I'm not going over every single one of them.
We do, because we got to put up with you.
Oh, fool. Now listen to this. Okay, why do you think they call it premenstrual syndrome, menopause, premenstrual dysphoria? Because the men are always in the middle of our problems. Huh?
Because we the man.
Yeah.
You man that causes all our shit.
Sorry, my dog's being a retard. Okay, so.
Look at his
women,
owner.
That's not my dog. That's my son's dog. Women have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 20. No, I'd go with about 50 different reproductive diseases. Men have a handful. Women have
See?
Like 5 or 6 handfuls.
So there's the real
no,
trouble.
No, seriously. Yeah, I know. So I'm going to start with the most common one for women. Women know about, I'm going to start with endometriosis. Where's that? I know it's in here somewhere. Or it's not. It's not on there. Hold on. I'm going to have to go to Old Faithful, my book, and type it up. It's hard enough knowing aging, allergic. Oh, and by the way, does cause a lot of problems for people, especially, and also, like I was saying, hard water. I have, like, when I lived in West Virginia, we had hard water, and I had a rash everywhere, and I thought I was going to scratch myself to death till I bled. Let's see. Seriously? They don't even have endometriosis in my book, so I'm going to type it up. Hold on. I don't know how many women have had endometriosis. I know it's very painful. Endometriosis. Hold on. I'll get there as soon as it pulls it up. It's often a painful disorder in which tissue similar to the tissue that normally lines the inside of the uterus, the endometrium, grows outside of the uterus. And it commonly involves the ovaries and the fallopian tubes. Rarely does the endometrial tissue leave the pelvic organs. It usually stays in the pelvic area and bleeds with each menstrual cycle. But because the tissue has no way to exit your body, it gets trapped inside your abdominal cavity. When it involves the ovaries, you can end up with cysts, ovarian cysts, or endometriomas, but they're ovarian cysts. And the surrounding tissue can become irritated, and eventually you can get scar tissue and adhesions and abnormal bands of fibrous tissue that can cause pelvic issues and organs. A lot of women who have chronic endometriosis, their bladder and their uterus will fuse together. I had adenomyosis, and it's in the same category as endometriosis, and my bladder and my uterus fused together, and it will cause a lot of other problems. It made my celiac worse because of the problem with my uterus. It caused my bladder to inflame and my intestines to inflame, and I was just a big hot bag of, you know, big hot mess. So what they have to do is they have to actually scrape between where they're connected. Then the doctor has to take saline fluid, almost like an IV bag, but the tube is a little bigger. And what they have to do is they have to actually fill your bladder up completely and make sure it doesn't seep out of the outside of the bladder because of them having to scrape to separate the two. And then they and you're asleep, by the way, whenever you have this. So, and then they empty it out. So some other thing, women can have painful periods or dysmenorrhea. You can end up with pelvic pain. Cramping may start before. You could have it into and after. You could also have lower back pain and abdominal pain. Basically, a woman's period is just like childbirth. Minus a child. It's your body preparing for you to have a child. Some women can have pain with intercourse, and that's common with endometriosis because of all the inflammation. With endometriosis, a woman could have painful bowel movement or urination. Like I said, all of this has to do with inflammation. Women could have excessive bleeding. Day one of your period, it could start out, I don't know about you, Lorna, but when I started, it was like sporadic. I'd be like 45 days apart to 30 days to 25 days back and forth. Nothing was ever straight. It was never until I got pregnant. Then it was consecutive every 31 days for 5 days. You spot 2 days, heavy, spot 2 days, boom, you're done. It wasn't until after I had my children, after I got out of the military, where I started having all my problems. And this is what I'm not sure what the recommendations are nowadays, but before I had my hysterectomy, it was if you're using or tampons, or if you have to use both and you're changing either one every 15 minutes in an hour, you need to go to a doctor. Because that's, you could end up hemorrhaging. And if you, I've used a whole box of supers now, not regular, not, you know, the teeny tiny ones. If you use the super ones for both, you definitely need to go up. And they give you a shot of progesterone, I believe, and it will stop your period to keep you from hemorrhaging. Sometimes women can have infertility, and usually endometriosis is the first issue for being infertile. Also with endometriosis, you can have experience fatigue, diarrhea, constipation, bloating, nausea, especially during your cycle. Now, the severity of your pain isn't necessarily a reliable indicator of the extent of the condition. You could have mild endometriosis with severe pain, or you could have advanced endometriosis with little to no pain. So it all depends. It could also be mistaken for other conditions. That's why they have to do the ultrasounds, the internal ultrasound and the external one. With the internal one, they have to use a wand, and it could see a lot better and to what's going on. So you could be misdiagnosed with PID, which is pelvic inflammatory disease, or ovarian cysts. It could also be confused with irritable bowel syndrome. So if you're a guy and you have IBS, don't worry about it. No matter what these nut jobs tell you, men cannot have periods, just women, and you don't have a uterus. I've actually had a guy tell me he had something wrong that I'm like, no, dude, you cannot.
But there's a lot of them that sure could use some Midol.
Now, I do not – thank you for saying that. A woman has a cycle once a month. It's the man's job to figure out when that is, so when he knows to tread lightly, bring you lots of crap to eat, or just to avoid you the whole time. Men, and it has to do with the estrogen in a man's body. They actually have a cycle once a week, where, have you noticed, our men are total bitchy assholes once a week. That's the man's equivalent. Now, does the man bleed? No. He has no uterus. It's just a hormonal thing. And it's probably where they get that from. Men have periods too. No, they don't. They have a hormonal thing. So the endometriosis can cause retrograde menstruation. That's where the endometrial cells flow back through the fallopian tubes and into the pelvic cavity instead of out of the body. So instead of going from the egg to the tube to the uterus, it goes backwards and ends up on the outside, and that's not where it's supposed to be. So the cells will stick to the pelvic walls and surfaces of pelvic organs, and what's going to happen is it continues to get more and more and more cells, and that's when you could be in a lot of trouble. Transformation of peritoneal cells is also what they call the induction theory. Experts propose that hormones or immune factors promote a transformation of peritoneal cells. And those are the cells that line the inside or the inner side of your abdomen. So that's when everything adheses together, like adhesions, and it's all, and that's when it makes a big mess. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. So several risk factors for endometriosis is never giving birth, starting your period at an early age, going through menopause at an older age, short menstrual cycles, shorter than 27 days apart, heavy ones that are longer than 7 days, having higher levels of estrogen in your body, or a greater lifetime exposure to estrogen that your body produces, a low body mass index, one or more relatives, your mother, your aunt, your sister, has ever had endometriosis, and any medical condition that prevents the normal passage of menstrual flow out of the body. So that's, you could also get, skip that one because I don't want to, I'm trying to think of other, let's see. Adenomyosis is, like I said, it's pretty much the same as endometriosis, but let's see. Where is it at? I know I saw it here a minute ago. Oh, fine. Because the uterus is a muscle, with adenomyosis, it's like the uterus becomes a sponge. And if you bend over while you're having your period, you could be bending over to put your shoes on, to pick something up off the floor. And you bleed really, really heavy at one time. That's because your uterus has become almost like spongy-like. And you can also hemorrhage with adenomyosis. And with adenomyosis, you will need a hysterectomy. Your periods can end up a lot longer than 7 days, super heavy, very painful, and everything like that. Sometimes when you have adenomyosis, you may end up with ovarian cysts. That's what I ended up with. And they did a radical, and he took both of my ovaries. And I said, take it, because chances of you end up with cysts on your other one are pretty good. So, where'd I go? Okay. So women can also get uterine fibroids. And it's the most common non-cancerous tumor, no cancer, guys, okay, for women of childbearing age. And the fibroids are made of muscle cells and other tissues that grow in and around the wall of the uterus. And they don't know what causes them, of course. So some of the biggest risk factors are people of color, I say women of color, or being overweight. So you could have heavy or painful periods or bleeding in between. Your abdomen, if it's feeling full in your lower abdomen, you urinate all the time or often, pain during sex, lower back pain, and reproductive problems such as infertility, multiple miscarriages, or early labor. So those are, that's another issue. Gynecologic cancer, there's many different types. There's cervical cancer, and, of course, that's in the cervix. And you can have what they call precancerous or cervical dysplasia. They can actually freeze the cervix and scrape it to get rid of all of the, I should say, cancerous cells.
Yeah, I had that when I was 22 or 23. They said, you know, I had some cells, and they did this thing called cryotherapy. It was a pain in the ass. 'Cause then you had to go for a pap twice a year instead of once a year for like 3 years. I'm like, fuck that.
My mom
shit.
Had it done. She had it done a couple times. And that's just because my grandmother had to take that long, I can't even pronounce it, DES, diestrol, estrol, something or another, sylvesterone or whatever. And
I know what you're talking about.
And they stopped giving it in 1970. And she was 45 when my mom was born, my grandmother was. And she was 47 when my uncle was born. Get this, believe it or not, my grandfather was 45. He was 70 years old when my mom was born.
Well, it is possible for older men. I mean, look at Tony Randall.
Well,
he had a baby. He was 80. I mean, men keep producing sperm.
That I was just going to say that. Women have a finite number of eggs in each ovary, okay? Men constantly produce sperm. So, therefore, men do not become, infertile, I should say, like menopause. When a woman hits menopause, it either skips, you still have a period, but there's no eggs. So that's why women, if you're going to have children, you should have them before 40. You really should. And so back in the day, when my mom was born in the 50s, my grandmother had to take DES because she almost lost my mom. So now because she took that, my mom ended up with a lot of cervical problems. And she had to have that cervical they had to freeze it, scrape it, and all that. The cryo, they scrape it.
Right.
Now, my uncle, well, he's a guy, so he doesn't have to worry about female issues. So it's only mother to daughter. And they're questioning whether or not granddaughters, like me, I had three miscarriages. I had my son. He was born 6 weeks early. So, I mean, I was just never meant to have multiple children. And by reading a lot of this other stuff, there's a possibility I probably had fibroids, but I do know I had ovarian cysts. Ovarian cancer.
It is genetic.
Yeah, and see, that's what
some
I was thinking.
Some of it can be genetic, or think about it. I mean, even if you're thinking about nature versus nurture, back then, we were younger, we usually were in the same areas as our parents and our grandparents. We didn't travel all over the place to relocate, start new families. So, so because of that, it's kind of hard to determine whether or not it's nature or nurture situation, environment, I'm sorry, whether it's, you know, genetic or environmental, because back then, we didn't do all the traveling. Do you know what I mean?
And not only that, there's
so
many pesticides, all kinds of chemicals. So this is the reason why there's been a cancer outburst and a lot of other illnesses because of the way things have changed, especially from the 70s. 70s were okay, and then it progressively got worse. It started getting worse in the 80s, the 90s. And then by the time you hit 2000, boom, that was it. There's
you know what?
Pesticides, chemicals everywhere.
Kim, you know what? What would be interesting? I was going to do some research on it just because I was curious after a conversation I was part of. Is I'd be interested. What percentage? You can't do exact numbers because they're higher now. But what percentage of children say had the flu in 1976, and what percentage of children had the flu in, say, 2015? I'm curious. All, you know, certain things. I don't ever remember kids being out sick from school nearly as much as kids are today. So,
hold on.
You know,
in 76?
Right, and again, it's not that I'm an anti-vaxxer, but I am curious. If children are getting all these freaking vaccines,
25.
Why are they so much sicker than we were?
25%.
Okay. And what is it now?
In 1976, 25% of children got it. And then what was the other date?
I don't know, 2015.
Okay. In 2015. Let's go. Let's see. Wow. Oh, that's, never mind, that's everybody. Let's see. Well, this said, wow. So the median incidence values by age group were 9.3% for children at birth to 17, and over 17 was 8.8. So in all actuality, in 2015, only roughly 10% of children got the flu, as compared in 1976.
So then that vaccine's working?
Well, this is in 2015.
That's a vaccine that you get every year. So
yeah.
what are some of the vaccines that – I don't even know what half these vaccines are that they're giving to children. Like, I know chickenpox. I got chickenpox.
Okay.
Vaccine.
Hold on.
So what are some of the new vaccines?
Hold on.
Like I said, I am not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just curious. You know, we went from giving kids maybe half a dozen vaccines, and now 28. So I'm curious.
Okay.
Are they working?
I saw a comment somewhere that said children get over 100 vaccines. They're full of shit.
No, it's not
they
that
don't.
Many. It's not that many.
No. So, let's see. Well, I thought that put how many. I'm trying to find out where it's at because, here we go. Birth to 18 years. I knew I'd find it sooner. It had to be a picture, too. Oh. So this is per the CDC. So they get.
Yeah, like they're trustworthy.
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, like they're trustworthy. Go ahead. What does it say?
No. This is right for the vaccine. Here it is. The hepatitis B vaccine is new, the last 10 years, and they get three of those. You get it.
I
got
that. That was more than 10 years ago. That was like back in the 70s. Because I forgot. I didn't get the last shot.
They didn't give
it
to children.
I test positive.
Oh, they didn't
now
give it to
giving
children.
It to children. I
yeah.
Think, were children
yeah.
getting Hep C? Were children getting Hep B?
No.
So
well,
why give it to them?
But because of a pregnant mom can give their child hepatitis if she's pregnant and has it. That's why. So you have that.
But
big,
you. But why give a child? Okay, I guess I'm. I don't understand. So they give the child the vaccine in utero.
No, after it's born. They get it at birth, and then from 1 to 2 months, they get the second one, and the third one, they'll get it from 6 months to 15 months.
So is the mother giving it to them through breastfeeding?
It could be through breastfeeding, or they could give it to them while they're pregnant, but they can't give it to the child until
it's
born.
But to prevent you from getting something.
Well, I don't know. All I know is I was 37 years old. I was 37 when I got my first vaccine for Hep B, and I was in the Army, and it almost killed me. So I never got all three. But anyway,
I got 2 out of 3 shots, so now I test positive.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't get it. But anyway, let me get back to this. They get the damn it. Okay, they get the rotavirus vaccine. They get the DPT. They've always had that.
Yeah, that one I know. I got that one.
The Hib shot. Influenza
the what?
B. The Hib. Haemophilus influenza
type B. Oh, is that the pneumonia
B.
shot? Is that the pneumonia?
And pneumonia.
Shot?
Okay.
Yeah,
yes,
I got
those
that.
Are. Yeah.
But I was an adult when I got that one.
The new one is the inactive, well, it's not new. It's the inactive polio virus. There's actually two.
I've been hearing some not good things about that.
Yeah. You, Okay, the oral polio, children, if you get that, it's an actual live virus. Here's the problem. When my youngest daughter had to get her polio vaccine, they only had the oral polio vaccine. And their youngest aunt had cancer, and she was having chemo. So my youngest daughter could not go around her because she was having chemo. She could have actually given her polio on top of cancer. That's the only difference between the oral polio and the inactivated polio virus.
Well, I saw something on that, and, you know, doctor was saying that he's I saw a really interesting show by I have to share you the video. The guy's actually a world-renowned virologist. He's in support. He's not an anti-vaxxer by any means. And some of the stuff that he was sharing about vaccines and some of them really are not necessary. It's not a question of whether or not they work or not. It's a question of, are they necessary?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when you give people vaccines, they're not developing the it's like somebody who doesn't work out. So you always get somebody to fight for you. So now all of a sudden you've got to fight for yourself and you can't do diddly.
The reason behind the vaccine is to make your body think that you have the disease.
But it'll fight it off.
It
doesn't always work that way.
No. I'll share the
video. Like I said, it's not that the guy's an anti. Obviously, he's not an anti-vaxxer. I mean, that's his field. He just was, saying that, you can go overboard with something.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing. The MMR, okay? Children
not
get
taken.
It at... From birth to 15 months, and they get it.
Is that rubella? Is that measles and rubella, the MMR?
Measles, mumps, and rubella.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. No, everybody gets it, but here's the thing. You get it at 15 months, and then you get it a booster shot after you get it at, hold on a second. I'm trying to find out the way they've got these shots. You get like three doses of the MMR. Okay, here's the thing. You're supposed to get it at 5 years old, right, before you go into kindergarten.
Right.
This whole thing about children becoming autistic from the MMR. Let me ask you a question for anybody to answer this. How is it that all of a sudden children are becoming, if, and I will argue anybody on this, why is it that from the beginning of when they first gave out the MMR vaccine, that children were not autistic up until the last 15 years?
Is that their blaming?
Yes.
I know that some vaccines are blamed, and in my opinion, some vaccines may cause side effects, but
if you're allergic to
eggs. Giving out, but see that particular one. First of all, autism, isn't that something you'd have to develop either in vitro or shortly after birth?
Yes.
I mean, it's not something that.
I think it's led to society, like I said, the pesticides, how people eat, what the mother did while she was pregnant.
I will agree.
And all of that. And they're blaming it on the MMR because they said their child got autistic after the MMR. But why is it all of a sudden? It never happened up until recently. And that's why the anti-vax bullshit started. Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Now, children get the varicella vaccine, the chickenpox.
What's that?
It's bullshit. It don't work.
What?
It does not work. No.
What?
The varicella vaccine. Yeah.
Is that new?
Yeah.
No, when I was a kid, we got chickenpox vaccines. I'm pretty
sure
they
didn't come up
did.
With the varicella. I was one of the – me and my brothers were one of the first ones to get it back in the 80s. We got it. We still got the chickenpox.
So what were they giving us then? Maybe –
smallpox.
I could have swore –
smallpox.
Oh, no. We got not me. My brother and sister got chickenpox, and they got a shot after they got the chickenpox.
Yeah.
They gave them
but
some
the
kind of shot.
But the smallpox, and see, here's the thing. The smallpox was eradicated, and that's
right.
The reason why Gen Xers, people my age bracket, never got it. It
right.
stopped in the 60s. So,
right.
Here's another one that
yeah,
me and Bobby both agree with.
It was smallpox he got, not chickenpox. You're right.
Yeah. The HPV.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
don't agree with
yes.
it. Yes. And that's just my personal opinion. A lot of people have, many people have HPV and don't even know it, men and women. I know Dr. Phil had mentioned it, the importance of giving it. But in all honesty, it says you can only give it to a certain age.
Right.
After a certain age.
Well, I know they're saying
good.
That shingles, people who, I don't know if it's people who have had chickenpox or people who had the chickenpox vaccine are more prone to shingles.
You cannot get shingles unless you've had chickenpox. That's the way the shit works. If you've had... if someone's had shingles and you got exposed to them and you never had chickenpox, don't worry about it. You're not getting shingles. It's just something.
I worry about
it. It's just something about the body. It's a precursor. You have to. Okay. So now there's, meningitis vaccine. Jesus. That's new. I've never... My kids never had that, so that's new. Let's see, polio, influenza. My kids never got flu shots, ever.
Well, that's something you can get every year. That's not a requirement. I don't really consider that a vaccine. I mean, not the same way I do rubella or the mumps or something.
No. This is the influenza vaccine is you have to have one or the other. They have to have a flu shot. Now, why? Children,
wait,
the younger you are, the healthier you are. Huh?
I didn't know they were required to get a flu shot.
Yeah, I guess. It also might depend
every
on the
year?
State that you live in. Yeah. It might also depend on where you live. They may not require it in school. But that's it to your 18. And it's only one, two, three.
Maybe it's like you said, it's the food, the pesto. I just don't understand, and I can't, and it's not my imagination. I just can't understand why so many children are getting sick so often throughout the year. I don't ever remember kids being sick this much when we were kids. I'm not saying we didn't get sick or snotty noses, but not like they are today.
Okay. Daycares, Head Start, and preschool, children are human petri dishes. Them little shits will come home and spread everything.
I know.
Everything. Now,
I know.
Here's the thing. The younger, look, kids recover from the flu really fast. Now, here's the thing. Under 5 years old, that's kind of touchy because their immune system is just building up. So they can get, and that's the reason for the rotavirus vaccine. There's, what you call it, RSV.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. It's a respiratory syndrome virus. Oh, respiratory whatever virus. And that's only up to a certain age that kids get it. That can kill a child. Mm-hmm. RSV can. They end up very sick, and they end up in the hospital. My youngest granddaughter, she had RSV 3 times mm-hmm. before she was 3 years old. So they also get the croup. There's nothing you could do about the croup.
No. I know my youngest sister, I don't remember how old she was. I'm pretty sure she was under 5. She couldn't have been more than 2 or 3. They had to put her in an oxygen tent because she had pneumonia. And they had sent her home. And then back then, hospitals were bad. My other sister, they sent her home. And then my mom was giving her Percocet for pain. And she told the emergency room, you need to find out what's wrong with my daughter. She almost died on the operating table from peritonitis. Trying to get pregnant for her was very difficult.
My youngest brother did too.
My other sister,
his appendix
the one I said... Yes, her appendix ruptured. And, I mean, she had tubes coming out of her for weeks to get the gunk out. But at any rate, my other sister, as I was saying, she had double pneumonia, whatever the hell it is, and they had to put her in an oxygen tank. It was also touch and go for her. And she's had, you know, she had breathing issues after that. But I think that, like I said, you mentioned before, I think part of it is what we're eating, what young mm-hmm. people are eating these days. I think that's contributing a lot to their health issues.
I have seen 5-year-old girls start their period at 5.
Yeah.
You know what? Why? Because of the hormones they put in chickens.
Yep.
That's why.
Yeah, that too.
I mean,
also fat content. My niece, don't tell her I told you. My niece didn't get her period until she was like 16. And she was very upset because all her friends already had theirs. Now, my niece is extremely skinny. Now, I mean, she's got like a bottomless leg. I mean, she eats. It's not that she doesn't eat, but... she eats healthy stuff. We don't do Burger King and McDonald's and shit like that. So, you know, when she was about 14, 15 and was starting to complain, my sister's like, well, we can take you to get McDonald's and Burger King if you'd like. You know, and when you're used to eating filet mignon, you don't want no fucking Burger King and McDonald's.
No. No, I was 13. When I started, and my youngest daughter was 11, I think.
No, I was 14 or 15, and my sister was 16 or 17. And but again, you know, like I said, back then we didn't eat this crap that all the chemicals and the oversized chicken breasts and turkey breasts.
I think that's the reason why cancer has become rampant.
Really?
The chemtrails, the pesticides, the hormones. I mean, think about it. The way America eats is disgusting. It's crap. Go to the
and
UK.
The crap.
They don't use
and the
hormones.
Crap.
They don't. Yes. They don't use preservatives. Well, hardly any. Huh?
And the crap they put in. The crap they put in our food, like the trisodium phosphate.
The preservatives.
Yeah.
A lot of...
If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Exactly. If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Trisodium phosphate is a paint thinner. Trisodium phosphate is a paint thinner, and they put that in our food.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
Grab a box of Lucky Charms the next time you go into the store and look. And it's there, right at the top, in ingredients.
I will eat real sugar. I'll just eat less of it. I'm going to drink.
Raw
you know
sugar
what I'm
is good.
I want the real stuff. I'm going to eat butter.
Raw sugar
real
is good.
Butter.
It's in brown packets. Raw sugar is better for you than the process.
Yes.
See, that's just it.
Yes.
Over in the UK, they don't have all the pesticides, preservatives, and crap.
I know.
They use the minimum
right.
amount possible.
Here's
the thing that I just found out.
You do know that a lot of the foods and stuff that we get here in the United States that are sold in other countries, they have different recipes for what they sell in other countries because a lot of the ingredients are not allowed in those countries the way they are here.
They're not allowed to import
right.
into the UK.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
American products.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're not allowed to import them.
No, because they're poison. Like Coke, the Coca-Cola that's sold over in Europe is not the same recipe as what it is here. There's a lot of
no. There's only four ingredients.
Why is that? Huh?
There's only four ingredients in their soda over
right.
there: carbonated water,
so
flavoring, caramel. If it's Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, whatnot.
Right.
And one other thing, and that's it. That is all that's in their products and their sodas.
So you got to wonder why they sell it over there like that and not over here. Why are they poisoning us?
Because our government's stupid. That's why. And it's money. Think about it.
So
okay.
the pharmaceutical.
It was a rhetorical question.
No, I know, but think about it. Why is it that healthy salads, healthy food cost more than crap that you eat, than fast food? You could get a cheeseburger for $1 at Burger King or McDonald's, but it costs you $7 for a salad. Because the tertiary care, what happens after you get sick, the obesity, the diseases,
uh-huh.
the heart disease, this, that, and the other, comes from the shit that you eat. The healthier you eat, you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to get put on blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication, and all that other BS.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's a moneymaker. That's why it's so expensive. And that's why it's important to either go to the farmer's market or grow your own. Or go to a butcher shop.
No, I understand the thing. That's one of the great things about living in a farming community. Although, you know, I learned a couple of things. One, my sister just read an article in the Guardian about fish, the illegal sale of illegally caught fish to stores and restaurants. It used to be, you know, we were very careful about reading labels or to ask restaurants where the fish came from before we eat it. Now come to find out that a lot of times they don't know or they lie. And the government voted to repeal or rescind or whatever, 300 to 100 and something, rescind the meat labeling laws because Mexico, Canada, and a few others were protesting that it was harming their business because people, I guess, weren't buying meats with their country labels. I don't know. But at any rate, so... I don't have – see, I want to know where the food's coming from. Personally, I don't care if it's coming from Canada or even Mexico for that matter. I do care if it's coming from China or some country, India even, that doesn't – they don't process the same way we do.
Can you guys talk for a minute amongst yourselves? My dog's got blood all over her, and I hope to God she did not get hurt. Unless you found a critter.
Okay.
Just talk amongst yourselves about whatever. I'll be right back. I apologize, guys.
I really think that, you know, I mean, they always say you are what you eat. I mean, I know part of that's because they want people to diet and exercise and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's not important, but when you think about it, like what we were saying, like with women and their hormones, or even boys, you know, eating the hormones, you know, chickens that have all those hormones also affect little boys, you know? it gets really scary what it is that we are feeding our children.
Sorry,
you
guys. It's not blood.
Huh?
It's wax.
Wax.
My dog knocked over my wax, and it's all over her butt.
Wax? You mean like a burning candle wax?
Yeah. Well, no. It's those the wax warmers and her fur. She's got wax off. So now I got to comb her fucking hair to get the wax out. okay, let me get back to the last few things for the women's issues. So interstitial cystitis is a chronic bladder condition, and that's a chronic reoccurring discomfort or pain in the bladder or the pelvic area. Usually
mm-hmm.
with IC, women usually have inflamed or irritated bladder walls, and you could have scarring and stiffening of the bladder. Men can actually get this, too. It's called interstitial cystitis. Huh?
Oh, I heard of that.
Yeah, it's called IC. Men can get it, but because you've got a bladder. it's more women get it, and it's abdominal or pelvic pain, mild pain, frequent urination, a feeling to pee all the time, abdominal or pelvic pressure, tenderness, and lower abdominal pain that intensifies as you go. I've had that. Oh my God! And it goes away, but right at the bottom of your right there at your pelvic bone under your stomach. I swear to God, it feels like I'm pissing out a bowling ball. But that's what that is. So it comes and goes. But mine only hurts when I go to the bathroom, but not anymore. It's like, I think I've had that maybe four times in the last 10 years.
Right.
Polycystic ovary syndrome or PCOS happens when a woman's ovaries or the adrenal glands produce more male hormones than normal.
Yes, I have that. That's why my period was all fucked up when I was growing up. I only got it like once or twice a year.
So one result is that the cysts develop on the ovaries. Women who are obese are more likely to have PCOS. Women that have PCOS, they're at an increased risk of developing diabetes and heart disease. So you could become infertile. Pelvic pain, excessive hair growth on the face, chest, stomach, thumbs, or toes, baldness or thinning hair, acne, oily skin, and patches of thickened or dark brown skin. Well, crap, I had most of that, but I never had PCOS, so there you go. Like I said, if you got issues, go see your doctor because everything can carry over to something else.
I know all this because I did. Exactly what you said. See, even today, I am very big. I may not always do what the doctor tells me to do. You know, it's my choice. But I always make sure and go to the doctor, and I always tell people, you need to go and talk to your doctor because you're not going to know what's wrong with if you don't talk to the doctor. Now, I don't like taking man-made drugs, so if there's something natural I can do instead, I prefer to do that.
I take too much blood pressure medication, but right now, without it, My blood pressure is sky high, and I could have a stroke. So, okay, this last subject is a little touchy for some people, but it's sexual violence. And it's a significant problem in the United States. And usually it's where there's either consent or no consent. Now, here's the thing. If a woman gives consent, or even a man, because men could be sexually violated as well,
Yeah, this is prone to
to find blame.
If ever a man or a woman says yes, and then it becomes painful, and they don't want anymore, and they have the right to say no. So I don't care if you say yes 100 times. The moment you say no, that is sexual assault or sexual violence or whatever you want to call it. There's more women. It's a prevalence of more women. But here's the thing. We don't know what the real numbers are for men.
Look for
TARP. Because a lot of men don't want to come forward.
Hello, guys.
Hello?
Hey, this is Phil. How are you guys doing?
Okay. Where have you been? Just kidding.
Oh, it's just, man, I'm like super swamped here at the border with all of these immigration kids.
Don't lie. You're goofing off.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, what in the hell is this woman talking about?
What's up, brother?
Hey, good to hear from you, Bobby. Hey, happy St. Patty's Day early. I hope everybody gets pinched with the green eyes.
You too, brother.
I'm part Irish, I don't even know.
Give Bobby hugs and kisses for me and the family, man.
Likewise. Glad to see your daughter got her license. She's really moving up in the world. I'm real proud of her.
Yeah, pretty scary.
Yeah. Just don't want to be on the same road as her.
you're safe on
the
road.
Car.
It's the sidewalks.
Put padding on the car. Instead of that way, if she bumps into something or someone, it'll just bounce right off.
They said there's something about having pickup trucks and being very phallic, but I think that, you know, when you get a young daughter who's just learning to drive, a pickup trunk is the way to go, man. Give her a tank.
Nah, she's a good driver. That I give her. Of course, because I taught her.
My oldest, she drives pretty decent. She learned when she was like 15 or 16. But she didn't get her license until she was like 25, but she still drove. Because where we live, she drove on my license, and you're allowed to as long as your parents with you. But according to my son, my youngest daughter has a lead foot. She's either driving too slow or too fast. So I don't know how she drives, though. Thank God.
Hey, so what are we talking about today? It sounded like a lot of genital urinary conditions there from what I gather.
I was trying to address male and female issues, trying not to get too, I don't want to say rated R, you know, because if some children are listening or younger people listen, you know, but that's what I was trying to go through, you know, and of course, cool. Women have like a ton more issues to worry about than men.
Well, yeah, until that prostate kicks in, huh?
Yeah. I have never heard of half of these illnesses or issues for women. I've just
like dyspareunia.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cher has that. You know, popular singer Cher. She has that dyspareunia. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I think this is mixed because hypogonadism, I can't even speak today.
Yeah.
Hypogonadism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Oh,
like
okay.
Said,
yeah.
Yeah. When I was in nursing school, we don't learn all of this stuff. I mean, there's just so much that I don't know how it's possible to know so much.
Hypogonadism is associated with being obesity and is especially common when because the adipose tissue releases a lot estrogen, it actually blocks and reduces the testosterone. And when the male is not making the testosterone from the testicles, they begin to shrink. And so when we do a testicular exam on a male, we measure the size of the testicles, and based upon the size and the symptoms, that's a reduced size of a testicle, and that's called, in medical terms, hypogonadism.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've got this whole site here, and it's under U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And if you guys want it, and this is just a female issue. They don't even have the one for the men. And I'll put it up, and you guys could go through it and go, wow. Like I said, there's like 50 different issues on here. The other thing, I know Weathers, he jumped ship, and he just, you know, men can also get breast cancer. Not, it's not just
yes.
women.
Yes. That's true. Mm-hmm.
What is the...
And with hypogonadism, you know, men also develop breast tissue, and they call that gynecomastia. And that's
yeah.
basically the development of enlarged breast in a male, and they are definitely prone to getting breast cancer.
What is some of the reasons for the gynecomastia in guys? I know a lot of heavy guys, they have, you know, bigger boobs than some women, but what usually causes
The common reasons if you have a tumor on the pituitary gland. See, the pituitary gland makes a lot of hormones, and some of those hormones are your follicle-stimulating hormone, and it's the LH, which is the luteinizing hormone, and the FSH, the follicle-stimulating hormone, and the gonadotropin hormone. And if you have an issue with your pituitary gland, you know, your hormones can be out of whack. Therefore, if the testosterone is decreased, the estrogen is increased, you're going to have characteristics of in a male of a female, and there you go. You can start growing breasts, and you can have reduction in the size of your genitals.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know that.
So that's one reason. The other reason is obesity. Obesity, like I said, the adipose tissue does produce an excess of estrogen, which hinders the male's testosterone, and thus they start producing female characteristics. So those are the two most common reasons, usually a pituitary tumor or a dysfunction in the pituitary gland, a problem with obesity.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, I learned something new.
Yeah.
What is I'm not really sure about the percentage, or if you may know, why women have more abdominal fat than most men. I know men have less fat. Is it the muscle mass, because they have more muscle mass and it burns the fat, or because
well,
of biological?
I think a lot of it has to do with excess estrogen and unopposed estrogen, and especially post-pregnancy. So I'm just thinking about the biochemistry of things, but I can't give you an honest answer in that regard, but I can imagine that it's the excess estrogen. Once again, estrogen is prone to adipose tissue, and so having the men get the middle aged flat tire, right, Bobby?
Bobby listens when he wants to listen. I just want to hear.
I don't know about that, because I'm only 179 pounds, so.
You could be 179 pounds and not have any muscle mass.
Well, I got muscle mass.
But
on your jaw.
King's muscle mass is just in her jaw.
Why do females get more urinary tract infections than men?
Because their urethra is shorter.
No, because the distance between the anus and the urethra is shorter.
Well, also, that's what I was. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, is because it's shorter. But
too much sex.
The reason why is because the distance
also it's all enclosed.
You know, the distance between the anus and the urethra is a shorter distance. That's the reason.
Oh, okay.
Which means contamination from the gastrointestinal tract to the urinary tract is very common. That's why we have to teach our little girls how to wipe.
You
properly.
See, you women carry disease.
Front
you're walking diseases.
Oh, shut up. Hey, like I told you, Bobby, men are always in the middle of all the women's problems. Like I said, pre-menstrual syndrome, Of course, it's a joke. men apart.
Right.
Well, you know what's really kind of interesting is, I have two husbands. My first husband was not circumcised. And because he was, from a totally different generation. And my second husband was. But I noticed, that I actually, my first husband, he always showered before intercourse. My second husband wasn't quite as fastidious. Not that he was dirty, but I had more urinary tract infections during my second marriage than I did during my first marriage. And, so that's why I said, you blame men for a lot of things. And, when you're wiping yourself, it's the shorter distance, you have to be careful. And when you think of sexually transmitted diseases and everything, you also got to take into account something like that could also be gotten from your partner both ways.
That's true. Uncircumcised males have a higher risk for urinary tract infections and higher incidence, and have a higher incidence of spreading that as well, because they retain smegma up underneath that hood, and that can cause, that can transfer bacteria and other issues. So.
But it was funny because I always used to say, tell him you just took a shower, and he goes, yeah, well, no. And he would. And I didn't know that. I mean, I was like 22, and he was like 30 years older than me. So, but me, I'm, 22. What the heck do I know? I'm just, I just want, but no, insistent about it. And okay. I never thought about it until years later during my second marriage.
One thing that I noticed any time that I had a bladder infection or a kidney infection, if I drank any carbonated drinks, tea, or anything like that, the pain would be so much worse than if I just drank straight water or cranberry juice. And this was 10 years ago, and I would get a bladder infection.
Yeah, cranberry is very natural.
But, is there anything that, I know you're supposed to drink more water anyway. I try to drink at least a gallon of water a day. But as far as, the pain, I notice anytime I drink tea and back then I drank a lot of tea. I noticed it was more painful. And it was harder for me to urinate whenever I drank until I started drinking water. And it's like, okay, fine. And I didn't always take antibiotics.
And, you really don't always need antibiotics because there is the body has its own natural antibiotics, the immune system. The antibiotics, all they do is reduce the duration of the symptoms for the most part. Cranberry is high, I don't know why. It works very good during urinary tract infections of certain kinds. But a lot of times urinary tract infections are the result of the pH of the vagina. And so as, drinking different types of beverages can change the pH, and that can also increase your risk for having an infection. Yeah. So also teas and coffees and caffeines, the caffeine causes vasoconstriction in the arteries, which can increase your pain levels. You're not getting enough blood supply.
I didn't even think about that. I never did. I never thought
I didn't either. Wait, so why do they tell you
about
caffeine for headaches then?
About these things.
Ephedrine, has caffeine in it, and they say it's good for a headache. So, but why would it be okay for the pain of a headache, but cause pain elsewhere?
Well, sometimes the migraine is enlarged blood vessels pushing up against things in the brain. So So the caffeine reduces the size of the blood pressure, which the blood vessel, which takes pressure off of the surrounding tissues.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and see, there's different types of headaches, and that's the trick.
Right.
With the doctor's the one who's got to figure that out. How much?
Right.
Is it?
And if you're dehydrated,
coffee doesn't always work.
Well, no, if you're dehydrated, you can also get a headache.
Oh, for sure.
Dehydrated. I'm like you. I drink at minimum a gallon of water a day.
Yeah, that's your typical hangover. Yeah, you're dehydrated. I mean, you guys drink alcohol and they'll follow it up with water, and they're peeing all night long, and the next thing you know, they wake up hungover, no energy. It's because you're dehydrated. Your brain is dehydrated from the diuresis of the alcohol.
When I was in the military, anytime I got a headache, my sergeant would be telling me, drink water. Come on, let's go, drink water. And they would make you drink a quart of water right there.
Oh, me and Bobby were the head of the dog crew.
Oh, no. See, I only had hangovers a couple of times. Usually, before I went to sleep, I would throw up whatever was left in my stomach. Plus, I'd eat before I went drinking. And then I would drink, like, at least a 20-ounce bottle of water. You know, I didn't know what
that's
you were
you
saying.
Drink water while you're
that
drinking.
Never occurred to me that that's why I didn't have a hangover. I just knew it worked. I didn't know the whys and wherefores. I just liked being able to get up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning while the rest of my friends looked like shit and wanted to die.
Yeah, I was fortunate. But now I don't drink anymore. So I haven't had too many hangovers, and I'm glad, but I quit because of my liver enzymes were slightly elevated. And so I'm like, nope, I'm done, and quit drinking. So I'm all done with that, unfortunately. That's not unfortunately, but you told me to take about the probiotics and increased fiber.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm actually, and this is, okay, I know this might be TMI for some people, but my bowel movements are actually, I have less than what I was having, and they're actual bowel movements. It's not pee and water.
So you got some solid stool forming. You're starting to become more regular, possibly?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Good for you.
I have noticed it, and I've also upped my water intake. I have probably 2 cups of coffee a day, and regular cups, not these ginormous mugs that I was having before. And then I drink about 100 ounces of water, maybe 120 ounces of water a day.
You know what, Doug? You should do a show on women's health, particularly focusing on postmenopausal osteoporosis, because it's something most people don't know about. And the importance of vitamin D.
That's what I was trying to do is get to most of these subjects and stuff. But, yeah, so hold on. I'm going to write it down because it's good so I can have an idea for another show.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, postmenopausal conditions, even, you know, just osteoporosis in general, and the importance of vitamin D and calcium. And, you know, vitamin D is so important, and so many people don't realize it. Vitamin D is the carrier of the calcium. It puts it where it needs to. Vitamin D levels are low. You just got plenty of calcium in your blood with nowhere to go, so it just deposits anywhere it wants to. It deposits in your arteries. It deposits in your tissue.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that was the other thing. And my doctor put me on vitamin D because I was vitamin D deficient. And
most people are.
I've been trying to sit outside more, get some more sun. You know, not for sun, but for the actual fact of getting sun.
Sure.
And taking the vitamin D.
That's how I explain it. You get the vitamin D and the actual, I call the vitamin D is the car, the calcium is the passenger, and the infrared solar radiation is the fuel for the vehicle. You know, it moves it to where it needs to be, you know. And you can get it just sitting next to a window. You don't necessarily – you just need to be exposed to sunlight. Even on a cloudy day, the shortwave radiation penetrates the clouds, and it's what you need to process that vitamin D through your skin. So, yeah,
okay.
You're doing the right thing, but what people don't do is they don't generally check their levels of vitamin D. If I got a person with high blood pressure, that's one of the first things that I check, because then I'm looking at low vitamin D, meaning I got calcium buildup in the body somewhere, hardening of the arteries, which is like a hard garden hose increasing your blood pressure, you know? So sometimes just correcting vitamin D reverses your blood pressure conditions.
None of my doctors have ever checked it, ever.
Well, see, doctors are so busy throwing pills at people, they forgot the basics of biochemistry,
yeah.
And that's why we have something out there called functional medicine, and that's really, you know, the way to go. In functional medicine, we try to find the underlying cause for this. We don't just treat the condition by throwing pills at it. Sometimes you have to till you can get it figured out, but sometimes those pills make more damage than the condition itself, or you get secondary conditions.
Yeah, I know. I'm on, like I said, I'm on 3 blood pressure medications, but one of them is as a migraine preventative, you know, the propranolol. And it's like, I wish I could go off all my medications. I really do. Because I don't know if all of them interact with each other.
Yeah, well,
I'm on 5
to find yourself. You need to find yourself a doctor who practices functional medicine. But the problem is, the general person is canceled. You know, it's a lot of times insurance won't cover a lot of that. And so you have to, especially the testing that we do. So you end up having to work out some kind of payment arrangement or get some kind of community, you know, where you have like a credit card just for medical conditions and things like that to help you pay for those things.
No,
but in the long run, you pay less money because you're not using as much medications and you're not having as many trips to the doctor, you know? So, but it's hard to convince a lot of people about that. They just said, okay, you know, I live life in the fast lane. Just fix me, and I need to keep going.
Like I said, we're old school, but my nephew, my 19-year-old nephew, has Down syndrome. To be quite honest, to look at him, you would not, you at first glance, you wouldn't know. He also had open heart surgery. He could be walking down the beach with just his shorts on, and you'd have to look twice to see evidence of it. Because my sister, did what you were saying, not just holistic medicine, but like she had craniosacral massage and his chest massage. And he did not have any of his tubes replaced because, you know, they say, well, children with Down syndrome have to have their tubes replaced. No, he went no dairy for the first few years of his life. My sister was very much, in fact, our family in general is very much holistic, I guess they call it, but, you know, natural stuff, organic. You know, there are times when you have no choice. You need to take man-made medication. I mean, you know, we're not looking to what's the term for people that won't do anything. But but no, seriously, and it did wind up being less money. It is. You're correct. It actually costs less when you use that kind of medical care because you're actually healthy. It's sort of like preventative treatment. So then you're not sick as often. You don't have the same kind of problem. I can attest to what you're saying. It definitely does pay for itself.
Well,
same
thing is a healthy diet, exercise can also help with lowering your blood pressure. And I did notice I wasn't on blood pressure medication for like 10 years. And the minute something changes, it's boom, right back on the medication. So I got to get back on that track again. My diet's changed. Now I just have to get, you know, the exercising and everything else. And then at the end, you don't have to take all the medications. You feel better. You don't miss work. I notice when I have my blood pressure's up, I end up getting a bad headache. I feel nauseous. I feel bad, you know, and I have to lay down until it comes down. So, I mean, the holistic idea, it does help. So.
Yeah, well, when I think of holistic and medicine, I think of all of the different specialties working together on that one patient, like the cardiologist, the nephrologist, the GI, and you put all of those different specialties together under control of a primary care, and that's the holistic approach to medicine.
Yes.
What you're thinking, maybe you're talking about, would be naturopathic medicine, or, you know, even functional medicine.
Homeopathic, uh-huh. Yeah.
Homeopathic,
yeah.
Natural, you know, the natural way. And a lot of doctors, they take 3 years, three semesters of biochemistry in college. And once they graduate, a lot of times that biochemistry goes out the door. You know, you ask a doctor these days to explain the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle, and then I have to go back and look at my notes because it's been so long. But we're actually dealing with that every single day in functional medicine, just, you know, making ATP at the cellular level. You want healthy cells to have healthy tissues, to have healthy organs, to have healthy organ systems, and then to have healthy organisms. You start at the cell level and work your way up.
Because they all work together.
It's very rare that you can find doctors that are willing to work with, you know, like we also use a chiropractor. So, you know, my sister, you know, my nephew's cardiologist, he's a nurse at Hershey. At any rate, so he knew everything my sister was doing, and he never said, oh, no, don't do that, you know, because she took him to a chiropractor or a massage therapist or homeopathic. I mean, or she didn't want the tubes. All his doctors, because they deal with, you know, she was very careful to get get doctors who, you know, like you were just saying, working together, because that's the best way to do things is to work together. Unfortunately, I don't mean to put down doctors or anything like that, but a lot of them, you know, the way their offices or whatever that work, they're not a home doctor anymore. They're held into the hospital or the pharmaceuticals or, you know, the group that they're working with. They have to make, or the insurance company. It's not like a hometown doctor anymore.
That's correct.
And a
You're
lot
right.
of problems that I've seen, the primary care doctor does not talk to the cardiologist. Doesn't talk to your GI doctor, doesn't talk to urologist. That's the problem I had in the VA system in Tennessee. They're like, oh, I don't deal with that. Let your cardiologist deal with that. And then the GI doctor was like, no, you need to do what I say, not your cardiologist. So
that's the thing. That's really not the holistic approach of medicine. That's just everyone trying to be the boss, and that doesn't work for the patient. She was saying, the problem is these doctors are put under pressures by these hospitals or these groups to produce numbers. It's all about the money. And the insurance companies can tell you what you can do and what you can't do, because the patient normally can't afford what really needs to be done. You know, a lot of times the best medicines for the patient are not the ones the insurance company cover. And then you got to pull teeth trying to get prior authorizations and all of that for the insurance company to cover something that would really benefit the patient. Next thing you know, you're putting the patient on something that kind of fixes the problem, but it causes other problems. It's not always the best thing for them.
Well, I've been in that situation.
It's just a Band-Aid to put on a problem.
But see, a lot of functional medicine doctors are now getting in networks, because we have the ability to do telehealth and video health anywhere in the country. A bunch of functional medicine doctors will get it with another functional cardiologist, and we'll get with a functional GI, and we'll get with, you know, whatever, and they work together on that patient, with your quarterback being your primary care. VA is a little bit different, because A lot of times the VA doctors you're going to meet are going to be intern students out of medical school. And you might have, an old, horse doctor in charge of those guys at the VA. But a lot of doctors don't want to work for the VA because, first of all, it's a money racket, and they don't want those government controls over them. They want to get out there and they want to make as much money as they can. And that's the problem I find with medicine is something that is not a right. It's a privilege for those who can afford it. And those who can't, they either get on Google or they go with Dr. Mom or they just don't fare very well in the end.
Yeah, but I found – now, I mean, you might know better than I, but, I – talking to a number of doctors when I was in the home care field, carting my patients around, and also when I was going – I went to a very well-known chiropractor after a car accident. And I had Blue Cross Blue Shield. I had top of the line insurance. But he had a sign out that said pay in cash, and I mean you practically only paid 50%. And I asked him. I said, "What's with this?" And he explained how the insurance company and the government work with regards to paying doctors bills. And he made a recommendation to me. He said if I ever did not have insurance and needed health care, ask a doctor's office privately if they give a cash discount or, like if you buy so many visits ahead of time. He goes, you'd be surprised to find out how many do because the insurance company, if it costs $50 to do a procedure, and the government and the doctor needs a minimum $50 to get $50 from the government or the insurance.
We will be cut off.
God bless you guys. God bless you guys, and live well and be well to each other. And I'll try to make it next week if I can get on. But pretty busy. But
okay.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, brother.
No problem.
You're welcome, bro.
I'm sorry. Sorry to cut into it, but it'll cut us off. God bless America.
Yeah, I know.
God bless our troops, first responders, veterans, our children, and God bless the Defender 7.
Amen.
Amen.